April 24th. Welcome to the show, Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. Adam Azer, Al Melchior, and there he is.
Kirkland.
One straight talk about
don't kill it, Al.
No.
The people want it. Keep it fresh.
The people want it. And on it's Mondays. Plenty fresh.
As long as Herc doesn't punk out on Mondays like he did this time.
Listen, you guys, 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready to do my podcast, but you guys had to do it at noon this past Monday, so,
that's
you know.
Right. All right, it's our fault. It's our bad. All right, welcome to the show, Michael Pineda. What was that? Come on, man. Come on!
It's like, and he didn't even put a little bit on him. He just, like, put all the pines on it, yeah.
Bathing in it.
Were you watching? Were you guys watching that by any chance?
No. I came back from the gym, and I you know, I get this.
We can tell, Herc.
I look on my phone, and everyone on Facebook's like, Pine Tar Gate and stuff like that. I go, uh-oh. I just, you know, knew he was pitching. I said, this can't be good.
It was surreal. This is the way it unfolded. It was ridiculous. We're going to get to that in a second. But we got a lot to talk about today. Your email is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Playing buy or sell today. Got a lot of buy or sells to get to. And let's start with stat of the day number one. Martin Perez, the first Texas starting pitcher to have three consecutive scoreless starts since 2005 when Kenny Rogers did it. That's according to the AP recap.
Kenny, man, that's going old school.
Yeah, you're nodding enthusiastically here. I don't know if there's a Mets angle to that or
no. I remember Kenny Rogers. I remember when he threw his perfect game. You know, it was a big, big moment.
Have you noticed that Herc is just in the best mood when he's on the podcast?
Yeah,
he's just like he is bouncing right now. It's hilarious. Anyway, Martin Perez is 88% owned. He has a 1.42 ERA. He only struck out three in a complete game shutout with just three hits. So. It looks like he's a ground ball machine. Last four games, 12, 12, 12, and 17 ground balls. So I guess not going to get strikeouts, Al, but Perez is still looking really good. What do you think about him?
Yeah, he is a ground ball machine, but he won't induce grounders for nobody but you.
I don't get it.
Like, all right, we'll let the listeners help you out with that.
You know, what do we, like Darvish?
No, it's a song.
Yeah.
Grounders?
No. It's...
I'm just a love machine.
Oh. Okay, I get you.
Did you get that?
Yeah, do you remember the movie Heavyweights?
Of course.
Lars, he was dancing to that.
Yeah.
So yes, he is a ground ball machine. Sorry I took up so much time with a bad pun. I know it's unfortunate that this happens. It's always good when things happen before Herc Day, but I know Scott would be totally pumped about this.
Yeah.
And I'm pumping the brakes on it because, yeah, I think you put it in the proper perspective. I think Perez is good, not going to be a strikeout guy. Maybe there's that potential still down the road, but we do know that he can get grounders, not walk too many batters, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, but that's not going to elevate him above – where he was for much of last year.
Who would you guys rather have rest of season? Martin Perez or Danny Salazar?
I have to admit, still Salazar.
I'm going Perez here.
Yeah.
Perez or Willie Peralta?
Oh, boy. I'll go Perez.
This is close for me because I'm a huge Willie Peralta fan, so I think Al just explained to me why he doesn't like Perez. I think I'm going to go Willie Peralta in this case.
Perez or Kyle Loesch?
I'll go Perez. At least, like I said, there's maybe some future strikeout potential there.
Yeah, let's go with Perez because I can't take two Brewers pitchers, can I? Take those Brewers rotation.
Perez or Irvin Santana?
Big Irv.
Yep.
So you'd rather have Willie Peralta than Kyle Loesch?
I'm telling you, man. You know, read my column this week. I wrote about Willie Peralta. It's just something has changed with him. He's pitching better. I mean, I can't remember the stats I put in there. I put in so many stats, but... I'm on the Willie Peralta bandwagon.
Here's a buy or sell from Rick. Buy or sell, Martin Perez finishes as a top 20 pitcher.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I don't think he comes close. I think top 50.
I'm going to say sell, even though, I don't know, have you guys seen what Martin Perez has done at home so far? I mean, that's probably the most encouraging thing. He's 2-0 with a .79 ERA and three starts, and that's a hitter-friendly ballpark.
Yep.
Well, that's good for a ground ball pitcher then. So. I have big news. I forgot to share this yesterday, but it's actually better that Herc's on the show because Michael Hercum is a Mets fan.
Woohoo!
And I want to tell you, Herc, June 21st, Mets at Marlins, which is my birthday weekend. I'll be turning 30 a few days earlier. After that game on a Saturday night, free Boys to Men concert.
Oh.
at Marlins Park.
You can go to Las Vegas and see him. Not
really?
For free, though, but.
Yeah, this is, well, this is part of the ticket. Boys to Men. So happy birthday to me.
Did you get him already? Like advanced tickets?
I didn't get the tickets yet. I don't think I have to do that. I don't think it's going to be that big of a draw. But it should be fun. Marlins Mets will be a decent crowd on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then I would not want to spend
my
birthday.
A weekend game with a New York team in town and Boys to Men.
I'm going to splurge, Al.
You're going to have to buy those tickets in advance.
I think Al's angling for an invite.
I just don't. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how many tickets to get because I think everybody wants to come with this combo, Mets and Boys to Men.
That goes back to middle school for me, man. You know, the middle school dances and they play in Boys to Men.
And if they don't play Under the Road, I'm going to ask for my money back. Tweet of the day number one comes from Joshua Brooks. He says, "Why does Matt Cain suck so much?"
All caps.
Cain gave, I thought I read it sort of like in an all capsy way.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Cain, 6 innings, 10 hits, 7 runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, 2 homers allowed at Colorado. Why does he suck so much, guys?
Because he doesn't. Yeah. He sucked really bad yesterday, but it's 2 bad starts out of 5. And then there was a 3rd start that was not great. And then 2 very good starts.
Yeah, here's the thing. Cain's not good lifetime at Coors Field. 4.60 ERA and 14 starts with 11 home runs allowed. In 2011, for example, 2 bad starts at Coors Field. 4 2/3, 9 hits, 6 runs in one of them. And his ERA was under 3 that year. So we're not worried about Cain?
I'm a little bit concerned because this is kind of bleeding in from last year. I mean, he was inconsistent. He pitched well after he struggled at the beginning.
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to see a similar trend. But, I mean, that's concerning if I'm a Matt Cain owner.
All right, tweet of the day number 2 is from Giancarlo H11. Adam, yesterday you referenced Matt Harvey's hospital photo saying the Yankees don't do antics like the other New York team. Hashtag pie tar Pineda. All right, yes, I did. I'm still getting used to Pineda being a Yankee, so I guess I didn't consider that. And then,
by the way, because when I was Herc and I, we both update our probable pitchers tool, and there was a Mariners Yankees matchup, I think, for next week in there, and I was totally confused because I had Pineda on the wrong side of that. So, yeah.
Oops. I'm sure they'd like that in Seattle. So then an email from Mitchell in Jersey City said, in light of what happened in the game last night, is Pineda droppable? Suspension, ... can't pitch without the tar, ... is it worth a wait and see? I'm in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. I need to drop a pitcher to make room for David Robertson, and my only other option is Yordano Ventura.
Okay, now I apologize because I should remember this, but who was the last pine tar incident with? It was like a week ago.
It was Pineda.
No, wasn't it? There was somebody else, wasn't there?
No, there was a suntan lotion incident with Houston in Toronto.
All right, that might be what I'm thinking of then.
But the last suspension, I think, for pine tar was like an 8-game suspension.
Okay, well, the point was, when this came up the last time, the general take on it was everybody does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of execution here.
So you think he's going to do it again? He said he's not going to do it again.
Yeah.
You don't believe it?
No.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't remember him doing this in Seattle. So there was a good pitcher in there somewhere before he, you know, started doing the pine tar incident.
But that's the thing. It's like we don't know that he didn't use pine tar.
No,
we
don't.
We just know he didn't get caught.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and I think probably the fear here is that he needs it to compensate for the lesser velocity.
Okay.
All right, so just in case people are, you know, not familiar, pine tar is mostly used, it seems, when the weather's colder, although he was using it in Toronto, so that it's a grip thing and it's a control thing. I don't know if it helps velocity, but the reason hitters don't seem to mind and actually prefer it is because they don't want to get hit by 90-mile-per-hour fastballs, so they're saying, fine, use the pine tar, just don't be so blatant about it. It is a little interesting, though, because after it was sort of revealed in the first outing against the Red Sox when he got caught, he went out, didn't have pine tar on his hand, and he struggled. He gave up a home run. He gave up a double. He pitched, I think, 2 innings. And he didn't pitch well in the first inning in this game. Well, he was a little unlucky, but he gave up 2 runs in the first inning yesterday. So do you guys think this will be a problem for Michael Pineda, or do you think he'll be a good pitcher going forward?
I honestly think he's going to find a way to do this more
Discreetly,
that's a word. Thank you, and he'll be fine.
He'll use the clear stuff like Vaseline. So,
no, they have a bigger problem with Vaseline than pine tar. They have different effects. Pine tar is for your grip, for your control. So what do you think? What's your stance on it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now you drop them, somebody's going to go pick them up. So you run that risk, whether you think Pineda's going to rebound or not. I think you still have to hold on to him. You still have to see what happens. I mean, he pitches for one of the best teams in baseball. He's going to get run support. He's going to get wins probably. Maybe his ERA is not going to be as nice, but I don't think you can drop him.
All right, would you rather have Michael Pineda or Yordano Ventura?
I would think I would slightly go with Ventura because the way the Royals talk him up, I mean, like, they think he's the next great pitcher.
Plus, he's not going to miss two starts. No. Like Pineda might. It might just be one start.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I have a slight preference for Ventura anyway.
I can't believe 2 weeks ago or whenever that first incident was, we were talking about, I was bringing it up, is Pineda going to be better than Tanaka? You know, because he looked that good.
Yeah.
And he hasn't since.
Nobody.
But there's no...
He's looking as good as Tanaka.
No, but he hasn't looked as good as he looked against the Red Sox that first game.
Yeah.
Pineda. But you can't drop him unless you're just loaded. Or I'll pick him up. I'll join your league. Tweet of the day number 3 is from Morgan Leiden. Chris, and this is like in some type of weird street talk. Chris Colabello is faux real. Please ask your dudes if he is faux real. # Adam Azer plays guitar.
I mean, this is a question for ODB. I mean, old dirty baby, you know. So go, buddy. Your street.
Is he for real? Chris Colabello now has 3 home runs, and he leads the league with 26 RBI. That's ridiculous.
So what's the opposite of faux shizzle?
I have no idea.
I don't
want to say because I don't want to say something bad accidentally.
No, me neither. So great hashtag, too, by the way. No, not for real, which is not to say that Colabello can't be, you know, decent rest of way. But we're going to do a segment on fantasy baseball today. You're not going to want to miss it.
Oh,
on
nice preview.
Babip or Babip, depending on your preferred pronunciation.
No. Babip is not an option. It's Babip or Babip. Babip.
Well, it's like Verlander versus Verlander.
Yeah, one's wrong and one's right.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think I've been the one who's been saying it wrong. But
you've been
anyway.
Saying Babip?
Babip?
A lot of people say that.
No, people say Babip.
Oh, you're right.
Nando said Babip. And then I told him he wasn't an animated elephant. All right.
That was Adam Mays' best line since I've been on the
Chris
podcast.
Chris Colabello.
So, all right, let's talk a little.
Give me some projections for Chris Colabello
here. All right. Well, all right, before we get to projections, he is hitting .310 on ground balls.
Okay.
That's extremely high, even if you're a speedy guy. Chris Colabello is not. on fly balls, a typical BABIP on fly balls is a little over 100. Want to take a gander on what is batting average?
250.
212.
545.
Whoa! Is he hitting? Oh, does this count home runs or this is without home runs?
No, that's in play.
Okay.
In play. So obviously you add in 3 home runs, right?
Yeah, 3 home runs. Also, 4 walks, 22 strikeouts.
Yeah. So, you know, his power numbers are heavily inflated by doubles, and the doubles are a part of that 545 batting average on fly balls in play. And that's just, you know, that's going to get sliced by 80% most likely.
I will say this about Colabello. He hit a home run yesterday while his mom was getting interviewed, and I believe it was his birthday, and it was really cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Or maybe
it
was her birthday, but she like freaked out when he hit the home run.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So just this time, top what outfielder? Where is Chris Colabello for you?
Top 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he's strictly a deep league guy for you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's obviously a stopgap right now for any format where you need a bat, but my biggest concern is what are the Twins going to do when Arcia and Willingham come back?
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Pinto's DH-ing right now primarily, and he's doing phenomenal. Do you bump Kurt Suzuki?
He's not doing phenomenal. He's batting like .230.
Right, but he's hitting for power. I mean, what he's doing at the DH spot, the Twins want.
Yeah, but Colabello's doing better than
That's
him.
That's true, but I mean, then you have Jason Kubel, who's also hitting well. You got to find him at bats. They're not going to have enough spots in the lineup for all these guys.
Yeah, I agree, and I do agree with Adam that Colabello's definitely earned his way to, you know, more playing time when Arcia comes back. But I don't know how long that's going to last. And, yeah, I could definitely see a situation where he regresses, he cools off, opens the door again for Pinto, Kubel, whoever.
Yeah.
And he becomes a really marginal guy outside of AL only somewhere in the middle of the season.
Okay, tell me, would you rather have Colabello or Torii Hunter?
Torii Hunter.
Torii Hunter.
Easily.
Ozuna or Colabello?
Ozuna.
Ozuna.
Aoki or Colabello?
Points league is definitely Aoki. Yeah. Roto, yeah, probably go with Colabello there.
I'll go a little deeper. Colabello or Deaza?
Colabello.
Colabello.
Really? You're saying all these things about what Colabello is going to become, and you wouldn't rather have Deaza?
Yeah, I'm not real positive about him right now. Either.
I mean, this guy, if you look at his minor league numbers for Deaza, were fantastic. He had a good slugging percentage, but he can never repeat that in the major leagues. He's just up and down.
He hit like 18 home runs.
He has had stretches, yeah.
Yeah, but he's look at his slugging percentage last year. He's up and down. Exactly.
I think he's a guy who's gonna steal some bases and hit for.
See, you really wanted him in the podcast league. You were upset we didn't bid high
14
enough.
14 team, five outfielder league. I mean, that's a deep league where we're starting Chris Colabello.
Yeah. When he's been good for our team.
And
he helped us last night.
We were starting Travis Snyder. I wanted Deaz over Travis Snyder.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, really big news was the injury to Mark Trumbo, who might miss most of the season, let's say, for now. You know what? That might be a stretch. Out for an extended period of time and no timetable. We'll get to that in just a second. I wanted to know if anything else stood out to you that we need to talk about from Wednesday.
Yeah, sure. Ernesto Friere, and I know you've got him here later in notes, but I feel like that's a big deal because, and I'm biased because I've been saying for quite a while that I thought his job was vulnerable, but it's looking more so now. And the thing is, I've got to kind of change course here because what I did in drafts is I picked up Dane De La Rosa. He's not been healthy enough to really be an option. So I think now, given the limited closer and waiting options that are out there currently, I think you got to pick up Joe Smith just about everywhere.
Okay.
I like it. I need closers.
Well, there were a lot going on in the bullpen yesterday. Josh Fields blew another save. And I think, he blew a save. He earned a save two nights ago. He blew a save yesterday. Jesse Crane, man, I'm looking at his numbers. I know he has control issues, but a lot of strikeouts. Mm-hmm. And he should be back pretty soon. It's mid-May they're looking at for Jesse Crane in Houston. So Strope was bad yesterday, but so was Grimm and so was Russell. Everybody struggled in the Chicago bullpen, and the defense was bad behind Strope too. And Lindstrom got a save, but he gave up a walk and a hit and two deep fly ball outs at Detroit. So I feel like there are a lot more dominoes still to fall here in all the bullpens, and there are going to be other guys.
I think you're absolutely right about Jesse Crane too. I think that's the whole reason Houston brought him in. I think they saw closer potential in case these guys faltered.
So any speculation on the White Sox or the Cubs? You still like Lindstrom and Strope right now?
No. No, I don't like Lindstrom. I think Daniel Webb's the guy there. I'd rather speculate on Webb than Smith and Webb at this point, Joe Smith. And Cubs, I don't like anybody there.
Yeah.
I'd avoid.
What about your boy Jones for the White Sox?
Oh, I'm still stashing him, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But if you need save sooner than that,
yeah,
it doesn't look like Jones will be back anytime
soon.
Yeah,
I can't believe the Cubs said they want to give Jose Veras the job back. I mean, I think Rick Renteria is struggling right now. He has Luis Valbueno as his leadoff hitter, and he likes that. I mean,
yeah.
I think they can't wait for Javier Baez to come up and take over at second base.
Did Valbueno lead off yesterday as well?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, there was a story about Renteria saying, I like him in the leadoff spot.
So where was Bonifacio?
I think
bench,
second.
Right?
I'm pretty sure second. Are you
Bonifacio sat on Tuesday. I will check now.
Sure.
But in the meantime.
Yeah, can we talk about Aaron Hirang?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to mention. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, I was looking at his numbers, and he's been really phenomenal during day games. And at night, he's been good, too. However, both games were against the Mets at night. And look at his strikeout-to-walk ratio in those games. He had 14 strikeouts to 10 walks in two games. And facing a Mets lineup that didn't make him pay. Any other lineup probably would have made him pay dearly for those walks. It's the same strikeout-to-walk ratio he had last year with the Mets, and his ERA was all right. I mean, he was like in 3-something, but he gave up a lot of home runs. Sell, sell, sell Aaron Hirang. Now's the time. His ERA looks good. His points look good in points league. He's probably really good in rotisserie, too. Get him off your roster, because it's only going downhill from here.
Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Would you rather have Wade Miley or Aaron Hirang?
Wade Miley.
I would too, and that's very faint praise for him.
How about a guy like Henderson Alvarez?
Well, definitely I would.
Over Miley?
Oh, I take Miley.
Over Harang.
I'll take Alvarez over both.
Yeah. I think I'll go Alvarez over Harang because I'm telling people to get rid of him so I can't keep him in any instance.
Luis Valbuena didn't start yesterday. Bill Facio left.
Oh, okay.
All right, maybe it was just, two days ago.
Yeah. All right. I think Nate Eovaldi was in that same game, by the way, and he's 68. I don't understand why he's only 68% owned. He seems very under-owned to me.
Yeah, I think maybe a little. But no, I'm not shocked by that because, I mean, I've just kind of come around to Eovaldi probably in the past week myself. So
traded for him.
I did.
You gave up who? Bonifacio.
Bonifacio, yeah.
Right.
So, no, I'm on board now, but I can't blame people if they look at, 2.5 years prior to this where Eovaldi didn't really, live up to his potential. Some nice ERAs, but not a whole lot else. Not great control.
But
not
it makes sense, Al, because the strikeouts are up, and I think it makes sense because he throws so hard. For a guy with his kind of fastball, it makes sense to see more strikeouts. I feel like it's going to come eventually for Chris Archer, too. And Eovaldi's pitching in a great park. Not the toughest division when you look at the Mets. Phillies are okay. Braves lineup is, it'll get better.
I guess I was explaining rather than agreeing with. I think Eovaldi should be owned in probably more like 75%.
Harang's owned in 84% of leagues. And well, Eovaldi's owned in 68% of leagues.
Yeah. Well, Harang's ownership is going to plummet soon. But I think of Eovaldi, I think he's just taking some time for him to win some people over. But I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Clayton Kershaw will make a rehab start Friday. Could be back in 2 days. So Mark Trumbo has a stress fracture in his foot. He had plantar fasciitis. He tried to overcompensate, and now he has a stress fracture. So who, could give you power if you want to replace Mark Trumbo in the outfield or at first base?
I think a player, Al and I, are both.
Oh, I bet I know where you're going.
Go for it.
Dan Vecchietto?
Yeah.
Yep,
because
it's the first player I thought of, too.
Obviously, Michael Morse, if he's still out there, but he probably isn't. He's owned in most leagues.
Yeah, probably by about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. He was.
I just saw ownership percentage. Chris Davis is owned in 75% of leagues, so this would be for maybe some 12-team leagues, but mostly 10-team leagues. But he hit another home run yesterday. I could see Chris Davis's ownership climbing. Could you guys? Like, do you think he's under-owned at 75%?
No, we're talking about the Brewers outfielder,
yeah,
by the way. Not
of course. Yeah.
Yes, I could, but I think he's too streaky. I mean, I liked what he did in the minors, but to me, he just hasn't shown any consistency early in his major league career. So I'm not buying the hype just yet.
Yeah, and when my whole mania over Vecchio began, I think like a week and a half or so ago when I blogged on him, the guy I compared him to was Chris Davis.
Nice.
So I feel like that's a fair ownership percentage for Davis, and I think
really?
He's, yeah.
Let's rewind a month. Chris Davis is a 12th round pick, 13th round pick in the drafts we were doing. He slugged almost 600 last year in limited time.
Yeah.
Off to a bad start, but he's got two home runs and, I don't know, probably a little over a week.
So what's his ownership percentage?
75%. I think it's just a little too low. I mean, you're talking same as Chris Colapello. Let's see. Like, who's...
See, to me, again, he didn't have a good spring, so I was down on him for that.
I just think, three outfielder leagues, leagues. You could do without him.
I just like Vecchietto better in this instance because he's explaining what's changed for him. I'm one of those guys that connect the dots, and he's connecting the dots. He's saying, I'm hitting more to the opposite field. I'm more patient now, and those things make sense to me. Well, Chris Davis is just a free swinger to me, and it's really hard. He's going to be one of those guys you're going to have to sit when he's in a huge slump, and he's been in a few already this season.
Well, yeah. The thing is, if you want to replace Trumbo, who is a streaky guy with power, Chris Davis is kind of like...
See, Adam isn't forgetting about the roto people because that's what, people really need are the power. So.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know who you should pick up for power? I'm just...
Hervis Solarte?
Besides him, I'm sort of doing this on the fly here because we have a piece here by Mike Aziza on our site, Ion Baseball. And the teaser is Jonathan Singleton on the verge of a call-up.
Oh.
So... I'm reading as I'm talking to see what's behind that.
Let's halt the show. This is big news.
Well, yeah, no, there's nothing specific here.
No, he's just speculating, right? As everybody else is.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't have a date or anything on that. But so he's, Singleton's probably not going to help you immediately because there's nothing here that says he's, you know, being called up this week or next week. But definitely, you know, somebody to stash and could help you in the coming weeks.
What about Lucas Duda?
Yeah, that's not a bad choice. He homered yesterday. Nick Swisher's available in about 35% of our leagues. Maybe he'll give you 20 home runs. Is that fair? Oh, Marlon Byrd, 50% owned. Could be a decent option.
Yeah, he's off to a little bit of a slow start, but absolutely.
Colby Rasmus could get hot, but you don't want to deal with Colby Rasmus.
Nah, I don't. And in our, I think it's our 14-team podcast categories league. I'm pretty sure he's on waivers.
Yes, he is. We looked at him last time we talked about
and,
it.
Yeah, so. And I couldn't do it.
He might hurt you so much in batting average, and it just wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Adam Wainwright expects to make his next start. Iwakuma could be back soon, maybe next week.
Maybe next week, yep.
Gio Gonzalez left yesterday's start with shoulder tightness, precautionary move. He's been pitching great. Keep an eye on that. Matt Harrison, 30% owned. He's going to start Sunday for Texas. Over-owned, under-owned, Matt Harrison.
Slightly under-owned.
Agreed.
Yeah, not a big strikeout guy, but last two full seasons, ERA under 340. Coco Crisp was out of the lineup yesterday with a rib injury. So frustrating with Coco Crisp. Just like, go on the DL already and let us put you in the damn DL spot.
I had Coco Rice Krispies this morning for breakfast.
You had, Coco and Rice Krispies?
No, Coco Rice Krispies. It's one of the new flavors.
You mean Coco Krispies?
No, is that what they call them? I thought it's Rice Krispies and it says Coco on the box.
It's Coco Krispies.
All right, whatever.
What planet are you from? Coco Rice Krispies?
I thought so, whatever.
Oh, man.
That's just more of a description of his, you know, than the name of his cereal.
It's like, I had apple flavored Jacks today. Oh, you mean Apple Jacks? It's basically what you just said. Jay Bruce stole two bases last night. Whoa. Jose Bautista has reached base safely in all 21 games this season. He leads baseball with 27 walks. Legit start for Jose Bautista?
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah, my bust list is sort of a bust. Because I'm pretty sure I had him there. I know I had Pujols there.
By the way, take a look at Jay Bruce's walk numbers. I mean, and his strikeouts. I mean, he's improving as a hitter. I mean, this may be his best season yet.
I was just saying how he was hitting the ball on the ground last week, but... Not like in a definitive, bad way. Just
right.
An interesting note.
You know, and last week was, last week, which was, not even 3 weeks. Yeah, right. Do the math. Less than four weeks of the season now.
Jay Bruce is like the streakiest player in baseball.
That is
true. He's right up there. Michael Brantley stole his fourth base. Here we go, Michael Brantley.
He is
making me look dumb.
He's up there in the rankings. It's unbelievable to see what
he's
doing.
And he was last year, too.
Oh, well.
But now he's looking... So far, he's been better. He's 27.
I think, he and there's other guys out there, Vecchietto again is, somebody I bring up that, we forget that breakouts don't always happen in the first year, second year, third year.
Right.
It takes some guys till they're 26, 27.
And, another guy we're going to talk about soon is Matt Wieters, who's 27 and so far off to a great start. Michael Bourne was caught stealing twice. Don't like to see that. He's already been caught stealing three times. And his steal success rate, I'm not quite sure if it's dropped every year, but it's just not as good as it once was. And Matt Carpenter doubled, everybody. Led the league in doubles last year.
Slow top.
I think he had 55 last year and one this year. All right. We'll do some food for thought, and then we'll play some buy or sell. Here's some food for thought. Is now your last chance to pick up Mike Moustakas? He's owned in 61% of leagues and homered four times now in his last eight games.
Well, we've been banging the drum not to drop Mike Moustakas. Stash him on your bench. So, yes, pick him up before it's too late.
Are you moving up in your rankings?
Absolutely.
Over?
I haven't looked at my rankings. That's coming later today.
Well, let me ask you, would you rather have Chase Headley?
No, Mike Moustakas.
Al?
No, still Headley. I don't think I'm moving Moustakas at all because I was building in the fact that I thought a bounce back was likely for him.
All right.
So I've got him. Sorry, I know scrolling makes for really entertaining
podcasting. Herc, who would you rather have while Al does this, Moustakas or Pablo Sandoval?
I'm almost Moustakas. I don't care if Pablo Sandoval's playing for his next contract. But I'll tell you where I think I would have Arenado and then Moustakas because I think Arenado's big year coming.
I did move Arenado up, and I'll correct myself here. I'll move Moustakas up two spots ahead of Brett Laurie and Pablo Sandoval. And I think that has just more to do with my lack of faith in those two than Moustakas.
Sure. Brett Laurie, meanwhile, we got him in buy or sell, but he had another home run. He's driving a lot of runs. All right, food for thought. Is Brad Miller droppable?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Okay. Is Kyle Seager a good buy low candidate? He homered twice yesterday. First two of the year.
I think he's one of the best buy low candidates right now. Changed that a little bit maybe last night, but.
Do you think he could get any higher than like the number eight third baseman? Well, you know, Zimmerman's hurt, so maybe he could sneak ahead of him. But last 2 years, he's been very consistent. He's been like eighth in points, 10th in roto.
I mean, I've got him ninth in points right now. I could see his upside. It's seventh. I mean, it's not a big difference.
Right. But. So just to clarify, Kyle Seager's probably not going to like tear it up, have a huge year, and be an amazing player. But he's solid.
No, he's
very solid, yeah.
20 home run, maybe 70, 80 RBI guy.
Yeah, okay. 260-ish batting average so far through last two seasons. Is LaTroy Hawkins going to hang on to this job forever?
Yes. I am. If you read my waiver wire column, he's one of the guys, and I said it's time. Start buying into LaTroy Hawkins.
Look, Rex Brothers isn't giving us any reason to disagree with Herc here, but the plan is still to hand it over to Brothers, and there's a long season ahead, so Brothers could right the ship. It's just going to take longer, I think, than we all expected.
Just like you were saying with the breakouts and how sometimes they take a while, in baseball you have to remind yourself just how long the season is, and it's hard to predict the future 3.5 weeks in. Will Alfredo Simon stay in the rotation when Matt Latos comes back?
He's pitched well enough to do it, but Herc's nodding no, and I'll agree there. Yeah,
he's been really good. He walked three in the first inning yesterday, but he recovered. And Simon's 62% owned with a 1.30 ERA. I think if he had a more clear role, he'd be up in the Aaron Harang 85% owned, whatever it was, with Harang territory. But I'm sure people are hesitant.
Simon says make two starts next week.
Oh.
Also, I was... Why? Latos, no chance coming back?
No.
No.
I wasn't suggesting he'd replace Latos.
Right,
I was
thinking
Mike Leake.
Mike Leake, yeah.
All right, buy or sell, part one. Charlie Disturco says, buy or sell, Nelson Cruz hits over 30 home runs.
I believe I'm going to buy that and say 31.
I'll buy it.
Really?
I know, because what do I say every time we talk about Nelson Cruz?
He gets hurt.
Hamstring injury waiting to happen, but...
You got to like that short porch and left, though, at Camden Yards.
Yeah,
so.
He certainly seems to like it.
And, I just want to see the last time he hit 30.
When's the last
2009. He's not doing it. Come on. He's been in hitters' parks this whole...
So what's the...
Okay, look. He hit 27 last year in 109 games.
Well, so. And I was just going to say, he could hit 30 in 121-30. I really think he could, so...
He could. You're right. He has six. I'll sell it because 30's hard. But he's obviously still got pop. Mike. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name.
I will. I don't think it's that hard.
Iannone?
Butcher it. Iannone.
Iannone.
I'm not trying it, so.
Oh, we should.
Come on,
Herc. You have to read all the names.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Alexi Ramirez gets 15 home runs and 20 steals. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell the home runs, get like 12 or 13 of them.
And buy the steals?
Buy the steals.
I'm going to actually buy this because he's hit, what, 5 already? I mean, he's only got to get 10 the rest of the season.
Yeah, he'll go Unibet and court on us. Not that bad, really.
All right, Herc, who's our next tweeter?
All right, it is Chris Tyrell.
Harper hits less than 30 home runs. Bryce Harper, less than 30. Buy or sell?
I'll buy that.
Buy it.
Not by a lot.
By the way, we're going to talk about Bryce Harper on the video show today and his early season struggles.
Oh, this is hits less? Oh, I'm sorry.
Less than 30.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm going to sell it. I think he's going to go on these one of the ridiculous hot streaks coming up. And as long as he stays healthy, he'll be able to do it.
Next name, Herc?
All right. We got C.W. Roez.
Chris Colabello gets 20 home runs and 100 RBI.
Sell.
I'm selling it too.
He's already a quarter of the way there to the RBI.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Amazing. Next one's Greg Ward. It's easy even for Herc.
All right.
Buy or sell, Aaron freaking Harang.
Sell.
Sell.
By the way, Alexi Ramirez has 4 home runs.
All right. What's these 4 or 5? One off.
Yeah. All right,
we're going Danny Whittles.
Danny Whittles, buy or sell. Pujols hits 40 home runs. Wainwright wins the NL Cy Young. And D. Gordon steals 50-plus bases.
I'm going to go sell, buy, buy.
Sell, buy, sell.
All right, so the hang-up here is the D. Gordon 50 steals.
I mean, 12 stolen bases in 19 games. Got to like the ratio there.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. I just feel like between potential competition with Alex Guerrero, possibility for some regression.
Sure.
He could do it, but if you ask me to predict, I'd say 45.
Next up, Herc?
Oreo salad.
Oreo salad. Cueto finishes as a top 15 pitcher, if healthy, in Roto.
Al just goes, that does actually sound good in Oreo salad.
It does sound
great. Good. It's good.
Did you guys see the candy
good
draft?
Good compliment to Cocoa Rice Krispies.
No, I got a hashtag for that.
Cocoa Rice Krispies.
Wait, I got a hashtag for that yesterday, and I had no idea. They're like, what would I do in the candy draft? And I was like, I don't know.
So how did that all start?
I don't know exactly. I got back to my desk after a video, and I was apparently put in the eight-person candy draft here in the office. Which there's going to be a blog post about it, not on the fantasy site, just on the regular website. It's a snake draft. I had the fourth pick, and with my first two picks, the fourth and the 13th overall, I got my two favorite candies. I got Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in round one, and I got Peanut M&Ms in round three. And then I stole the draft with Skittles, or in round two. I stole the draft with Skittles in round three.
That's pretty good steal in round three.
So far through three rounds, that's all we've done. I'm Peanut Butter Cups, Peanut M&Ms, and Skittles. And you got to build a team. You got to have variety here. Yeah.
See how does Reese's Cups fall? From
that's
the top
what I'm
two?
Saying. I would have had him number one. Twix went number one. Kit Kat went two.
Where did Snickers go?
Butterfinger
yes.
went third.
No, that's fine with that. I was going to say
people are all over that.
Oh, Butterfinger's fantastic.
I feel like Kit Kat is overrated and due for some major regression.
Snickers,
how's this
Snickers fell to eighth. But then Yvonne, who had the eighth pick, took Snickers and Milky Way, so he started a run on candy
bars. Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah. I think Snickers should have been top three easily. I mean, as much as I love Snickers. Butterfinger, Snickers should have been there. So
Peanut Butter Cups, to me, I can't believe they fell at four. I was really happy. Steal.
we don't want to do any more. Let's just...
Cueto, top 15, if healthy.
Sell.
I am selling it. Not by much.
Herc, next up.
Oh, all right. We have the rest of that.
I loved hearing Scott sing. You three should bust out Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody, what do you think?
if we want to cut our listenership in half.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
What did Scott sing? What did I miss?
He sang, what did he sing?
This is Bubba Sparks, I think.
What?
Some guy I never heard of.
Yeah.
Bubba Starling.
Scott's good. Scott has a good voice.
Scott did have a good voice.
He does.
I couldn't believe it.
I played Rock Band with Scott, and he takes it seriously.
Scott takes everything seriously. I'm not surprised. He's a competitor, you know?
Yeah, it's true. All right, we got Itchy Banana.
Or Ichi Banaba. Buy or sell, Brett Lurie found his power. We'll hit 20 to 25 home runs this season.
I'm going to buy it with a 211 average.
I'm going to sell it. I think upper teens home runs and, maybe 250 average.
Okay.
Okay, let's look at some Coors Field home runs from yesterday. Brandon Belt hit his seventh. Michael Morse hit two. He has five. Hector Sanchez hit his first two home runs. Brandon Hicks homered. Charlie Blackmon hit his fifth and stole his sixth base. Troy Tulowitzki hit his fourth home run, and Justin Morneau hit his fifth.
That Brandon Hicks one, just as a Chatwood owner, that just was like a dagger. Chatwood was struggling at that point. I thought, okay, he's got Brandon Hicks here. He can get on a roll.
Did you see Charlie Blackmon's home run? That was a Coors Field home run. It was a line drive that just went. I mean, any other ballpark, that would have been a double.
Yeah, I should hit
got
tracker that
five
one.
Five home runs and six steals. It's pretty ridiculous.
This guy was moving up in the minors before he got hurt. He had two straight seasons where he was injured, but he was one of those guys that was sneaking up in the Rockies system. This guy's got some serious offense potential.
All right, so I have gone to the ESPN home run tracker, and that home run by Blackmon, they have the column where it's how many parks would it have gone out of. 20 parks, according to them.
Wow.
So let me put it this way, how I feel like about Blackmon, and you guys tell me how you feel. If I owned him, I would not I would maybe try to sell him if I could get like a total steal. We read some Charlie Blackman trades yesterday. Like if you could get Jason Hayward or something like that, yeah, you'd do it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not necessarily looking to sell him. I'm not looking to buy him if I don't own him. I think I'm just going to kind of see what happens here and sort of expect regression.
You know, it's going to
be like Colabello.
It's just going to be interesting between him and Justin Morneau, two Rockies hitters that are off to great starts. Just to see what's going to happen with them as the season goes on, if Coors Field's going to be a huge factor. You always got to love those Coors Field hitters, though. I mean, that's the attraction to it. So,
well, who do you think has a better chance of staying must start? Blackman, or let's just say must own. Blackman or Colabello?
Blackman.
Yeah, Blackman.
Okay, then. Rogers Center's home runs, another big homer park, Toronto. Nelson Cruz hit two and has six. Chris Davis hit his second home run. Matt Wieters, 27 years old, he hit his fourth home run, but he's batting .344. And he's the number three catcher so far behind Mesoraco and Molina. Jose Reyes hit his first. Brett Lurie hit his fifth and had three hits. And Ryan Goins hit his first. Let's talk about Wieters. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think maybe this is the breakout for Wieters because he's been pretty frustrating as a guy who came in as a highly touted catcher prospect and been good, you know, been like top five, top six in that neighborhood for a while, but just not the batting average and the power that I expect. I think that a lot of people expected, and it's plausible to me that he really is truly busting out.
But you're not quite ready to go there.
No, I mean, if in terms of, you know, paying for it, trying to get him from another team, yeah, I'm not ready to go there.
Anything else here in the Rogers Center home runs?
You know what? I just want to talk about Chris Davis. I hope fantasy owners stay a little patient with him. You know, he explained earlier this week what's happening. Pitchers are pitching him differently. His walks are still there, which is nice. You know, still striking out a lot. But, you know, stay confident in Chris Davis. It's going to come around. He's going to figure it out. Now he's got Nelson Cruz hitting home runs, so teams are going to start pitching to him.
Three up. I only actually have two, and I have none down. Aaron Hill, 4-for-5 with a triple and two RBI. Just want to know, we haven't spoken about him, I don't think, this year since the season started. Where are you on Aaron Hill?
I think still a buy low. I've seen some kind of crazy trade offers come across. And, yeah, so he seems to be underrated by a lot of owners right now.
Looking at your notes, my two second basemen I targeted this year were Hill and Rendon. So both of them, you know, Rendon's been paying off a little more than Hill. But since I was on Hill from the beginning as the guy that could be a top five second baseman, and I'll stick with Hill.
Would you rather have Hill? Oh, you'd rather have Hill than Rendon?
Just because I can't go back on my word. I was Hill over Rendon to begin the season, so.
How about you?
Yeah, Hill.
Okay. And three up number two, or really two up number two, is Christian Yelich, who's 85% owned. He does have a 17-game hitting streak. He's batting .329, hasn't homered yet, four steals, 15 runs, which is nice, hitting at the top of the order. .394 on base. He's right now the number 26 outfielder in points leagues, number 24 in Roto. Do you think Yelich needs to hit some home runs to really have value?
You know, it's kind of interesting. I'll let the Marlins fan take this one. But Mike Redmond said earlier this week he views Christian Yelich as a number three hitter. Only problem is they have Giancarlo Stanton hit number three. So when's Christian Yelich going to get down there? No, right now he's their leadoff hitter, so he's hitting like a leadoff hitter. I know what you're saying. Does he need to hit home runs to get fantasy value? I have him in my utility spot in the 12-team points league, so I say no.
Yeah, and I think he does in roto leagues, so I'm really surprised that his roto value is so high.
Right. Actually, but the thing is that I was kind of surprised it was so low just because he's hitting .329. His on-base is .394. He has four steals, which is pretty solid right now. I feel like if he's going to hit this well and only be the 26th best or 24th best outfielder, can he really hit .329 all year? And he's on pace for 30 steals, which I guess isn't that unrealistic. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like I looked at the slash line, I looked at the numbers, thought he'd be a little higher, maybe like 15th.
He's striking out a lot, though. That batting average is not sustainable. He's going to have to cut that down. But
go orderly, baby. Go.
How many fly balls has Christian Yelich hit this season going into the end of week four?
11.
Eight.
Five.
Wow.
Wow.
That's it?
That's it.
Jeez.
So for an outfielder, I just I feel like you need a little more power.
Or a lot of steals.
Yes. Yeah, more than he's, which is, you know, the steals are nice, but you need like double that right now.
Yeah. 15 home runs, over under.
Definitely under.
On 15.
Okay. In the rotation, do you guys want to talk about Jeff Samardzija, who was good, Jared Weaver, who has only struck out 5 in his last 2 starts, only allowed 2 earned runs combined. Chris Tillman, who got lit up a little bit, really just one horrible inning. Or Michael Wacha, who had a crazy start with 5 walks and 10 strikeouts in 4 innings.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say about any of these guys, because Weaver is a guy who has succeeded without strikeouts, maybe quite not at this level, but I think he'll get a few more strikeouts going forward. And so he is who he is. And I feel like Chris Tillman is who he is, too. He's a guy who's going to blow up, like with starts at Rogers Center or at home in Baltimore. He's gonna be frustratingly inconsistent because of his fly ball tendencies.
Waka waka waka. You know, not every pitcher is gonna have the best outing every night. So it's unfortunate it came against the Mets, because that's a team you're like, oh man, a start, but it happens.
He's been awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
2-2 with a 2.10 ERA, he's striking out everybody, and this was Waka's first start with more than 1 walk all year.
Are you happy I got his name right?
Yeah. Well, I said it first.
All right.
Fringy starting pitchers. Give me your top 3 from this group. Tyler Chatwood, Nate Eovaldi, Drew Smyly. Good to see him bounce back. Really good start against the White Sox. Jonathan Neese, Jason Vargas, Charlie Morton, Jared Cozart, and Jake Odorizzi.
All right. For me, Eovaldi, Neese, Smyly.
You know, I'm fine with that list. Maybe I'd replace Charlie Morton or Cozart with Smyly, but yeah, it's a good list.
I was thinking maybe Vargas, but yeah.
I'm not a Vargas fan. I still can't jump on the bandwagon on that one.
Al, I'm a little worried about Vargas. I touted him so much because of all the matchups. I kind of like him in points leagues because I think he'll get some wins. But in Roto, I don't know that I want to own him or start him, because he's not striking out anybody. He's getting like 3 strikeouts a game. I think he had 2 last night.
Yeah.
And the whip is just not good. 1.308 whip in his career. Pretty consistent with that number.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting good ERA. You need to get a win, because you're not getting strikeouts and you're not getting whip if you have him in Roto. It's kind of where I stand.
Well, and I think wins will come. It's just the Royals haven't produced up until very recently. The whip, I think, should be lower for him. I just feel like he has underperformed a bit, which is disappointing given the nice matchups he's had. But he's been pretty consistent for a while now.
Like, if he went 7 innings with this line, like, it would have been a pretty good start. 6 innings,
I feel like he's going to do that a lot.
Yeah, I expect him to go deeper.
Yeah.
Which is why I like him in points leagues.
See, Scott, I apologize. Al's passion for Jason Vargas is my passion for Giovanni Gerardo. Ah. So there we have our guys.
And then I had 3 other guys who didn't really fit into a category. Kyle Lewis was awesome, and he's been really good, and he's striking out almost a batter per inning. I'm assuming you guys are not buying that.
No.
Tyson Ross had control issues yesterday. You're only going to see 2 walks, but had almost like a 50-50 split in his strikes to balls, so he struggled, gave up 5 runs at Milwaukee.
It is worrisome to me, although Russ was much better in his previous 2 starts. I received a trade offer overnight, and the person who offered it is a podcast listener.
Mm-hmm. Adam Azer?
So, no. but curious what you think about Ross for Lackey. Oh, plus a couple $5.
I was just in my head this morning comparing them.
Yeah.
I'd take Tyson Ross.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm inclined to go that way too, but just wanted to see, because I thought it was an interesting offer, and I do think they're fairly comparable.
Yeah, that's exactly. Lackey was awesome last night. He's the other guy that didn't fit into the category.
I didn't even notice
11
that.
11 strikeouts in 8 innings, 1 run. That was weird. After back-to-back 6-run outings, I benched him. I benched him for a 2-star Kyle Gibson.
Oop.
Damn it to hell. Couple more notes. Craig Kimbrell was great. He looks back. Any concerns about Tommy Hunter? He's getting the job done, but it ain't pretty.
No, I'm not worried yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson's going to have a second Tommy John. Nick Franklin was sent to AAA. That was fast.
Yeah.
Shane Victorino did not return yesterday, but he should play today. Jake Arrieta could be back next week pitching for the Cubs. Any interest?
No, not for me.
I posed this to Adam and Nando yesterday. I mean, listen, if you look at his numbers with the Cubs last year, yeah, his ERA was nice. He had a few wins, but he still walked a lot of batters, and that's going to catch up to him.
Well, this is what happened. Herc sent an email to the two of us. Said, hey, you guys, Nando, I know you like Jake Arrieta. You want to add him maybe in the categories league? And I responded before Nando could get in there. All caps, no bleeping way. Angel Pagan was out yesterday. He's dealing with knee soreness. Gordon Beckham expected back today. Be interesting to see what happens with Marcus Semien. He hit a grand slam last night. Hasn't really been that good, so we'll see what happens.
Interesting, though, that he did play third last night, did he not?
He's been playing third because Larry Garcia played second.
Right.
He's been bouncing around.
So
I have options.
I got to buy or sell for you.
Okay.
Michael Johnson as the White Sox starting second baseman by the end of the season.
Let me really think this through because I was going to sell that because I think that they'll have Beckham at second and Semien at third. Beckham could be a trade chip. You know what? I'll buy it.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. And just to let listeners know, Micah Johnson is a top second base prospect who steals a lot of bases. I tried to compare him to Billy Hamilton, but they wouldn't let me do that. But he's just off to a great start.
But,
you're free to
do that just because we didn't think it was a good idea.
No,
go ahead.
Listen, I listen to you and Scott, all right?
D. Gordon got a day off yesterday, and Adam Eaton will likely not play today. Buy or sell part two. We got about 3 minutes. Tim Kimmel, buy or sell. Javier Baez will come up this year and make a fantasy impact.
Buying.
Buy.
Ryan Fergot. Oh, how would you pronounce that, Herc?
Forgo?
Yeah, it's probably true. I was going to say forgot. I almost pulled a Herc. Trevor Bauer can stay in the rotation if he's called up this time. Buy or sell?
Buy.
Buy.
J.K. Camp, buy or sell. Ian Desmond ends up 2020 and hits 270.
Buy.
I'm going to sell the batting average.
Scott Wixon, the Red Sox make a trade for Charlie Blackman's beard. Buy or sell?
Buy.
And in return, they're getting a goatee to be named later.
That was hashtag buy the beard of Zeus. CWR, buy or sell. Gregory Polanco will make an impact before the All-Star break.
Sell.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that you went that way, but I'm going to sell too. I think he'll be up, he'll play, and I think it may take him a while to make an impact.
Jay says, buy or sell. Desmond Jennings is more roto value than Carlos Beltran.
Wow. Sell, I think.
Yeah. I'm preseason, that. I was going to buy that, but both of them have...
Surprising
better than
starts,
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, Jennings I can't figure out. Sometimes he gets cold, and I'm like, he's going to be like this forever, and then he has a game like yesterday where he stole two bases, and I'm like, oh, the talent's there.
Yeah.
But Beltran's just consistent, and I like him. He's been DHing a lot because he got a little banged up. So I like the fact that they can do that. Matt Williams says, buy or sell, Michael Morse keeps up his production.
I got to hear what ODB has to say.
He could, I'll buy it. I'm sort of cheating because I'm looking at the 5 home runs, 15 RBI, and I'm multiplying by 6, even though we're not done with the month yet.
I think that's realistic.
But I think, multiply that by 6, I'll buy it.
That's 30 home runs, 90 RBI?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all predicated on him staying healthy, though, but I'll buy it.
He is a very injury-prone player. All right, last one's for you, Herc.
All right, we got – it's Eric Drusick.
Drusick? All right, it's DESRUISSEAUX.
His
Drusicks? It's probably like Des Russo. Jeff Samardzija has figured out consistency and will be a top 15 starting pitcher this season.
Who would have thought Jeff Samardzija would be easier to name in that situation?
I'm going to sell that.
Yeah, sell it.
15 is way too high, but top 30?
Yeah.
Buy or sell?
I think I'm still selling. Top 40, I'll buy.
Sell. By the way,
I do think he's going to end up being a draft day value, though.
Agreed.
But
yeah.
Speaking of bad names, remember yesterday the Padres prospect who I put in Campfire? I can't even pronounce his name. He's going to sign. I said, I hope this guy never makes it to the majors because I'll never get his name right.
Derek Desrooks, whatever, what'd you call him?
Desrooks.
All right, guys, thanks a lot. Herc, good stuff as always. We'll talk to you on Monday. And Al, talk to you tomorrow with your pitching advice. Scott will be back with his hitting advice.
No, you won't.
Oh, you're going somewhere.
Yes.
Where are you going?
Detroit Motor City.
Fun?
Wedding. So, yes, fun.
Good. We're out of here. See you tomorrow.